Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
In the first letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he told them to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, despite that command, it is hard to uphold in the midst of pain and trial. We all know someone who has faced a traumatic event, such as being abused by a spouse or surviving a horrible accident, even dealing with a persistent disease. These horrible experiences never leave our minds, and the mere mention of them can be painful to remember. You're listening to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. This is Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. Dobson on this very special broadcast. Today, we're going to talk about the deep emotional and mental scars that trauma causes. Our guest is Dr. Diane Langberg. She's a world-recognized psychologist for her work over the past 45 years, specializing in the area of counseling trauma victims. Before we start this broadcast, please know that the content discussed in today's program is for mature listeners, so parental discretion is advised. Here now is Family Talk's co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, interviewing Dr. Diane Langberg at the American Association of Christian Counselors World Conference last fall, discussing the effects and realities of trauma on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It's a pleasure to be here with a special guest, a dear friend of mine, and I think she is the world's leading expert, certainly in Christianity, on trauma. Diane, thanks for joining us on Family Talk.
You're welcome.
As we get started, Diane, the word trauma is pretty common today, hasn't always been that way. But what's interesting, you, by the way, have been ministering for like 45-plus years in this area. Help us understand what it is and how it just relates back to me. Trauma and trauma ministry. How do you define it?
Well, the word trauma literally means wound. But it is obviously not a physical wound. It can be a physical wound. We end up in the emergency room when it's a physical wound. But in my world, it is a heart wound and a mind wound, a soul wound. And what it means is that something violating, terrifying, dehumanizing has happened to someone and shattered them. And it can be war, it can be sexual abuse, it can be rape, it can be domestic violence, it could be a hideous accident on the highway, it can be atrocities that are around the world, like genocide, trafficking.
And what's amazing about it, too, is you, in a sense, when something traumatic happens to you, you feel like you've lost your footing, like there's no safety, your world's fragmented. Basically, in some sense, it's like you've lost almost even your soul, if you will.
Yes, you feel like you've lost yourself. You don't know how to describe what happened because words are not adequate. You carry fear in you all the time. And you feel helpless, powerless. And you feel separate from other people, even people you love or that love you, because you're sure they wouldn't understand.
And a lot of people carry these type of wounds as a secret.
For decades. And so those heart and mind wounds are hidden. And we know from the physical world that wounds that are hidden don't get treatment, and so they never heal. And they fester.
When you think of those kind of situations, my mind immediately goes to a total lack of safety, of feeling in any way secure in life or in, maybe in my relationships. What happens to the heart? What happens to the mind when you lose your sense of safety?
Well, one of the things is that people feel overwhelming anxiety. And we all know what the word anxiety means, and we all have the feeling of that sometimes in our lives. But I'm talking about a kind of anxiety that paralyzes people and just profoundly affects their lives. And it's not something, unless we've been traumatized, that most people understand. It makes it very difficult to think. because fear is the core of what trauma does. And so people live from the base of fear all of their lives. They become very vigilant. They're scanning for safety. They don't know how to find it. It affects their sleep. It affects their ability to concentrate. It certainly affects their relationships, not only with other people, but also with God.
You know, and dare we not think for a moment that there probably are a number of people listening right now who may have experienced a traumatic situation, Diane, and they've never even talked about it. Maybe they didn't have an opportunity to talk about it, but nevertheless, they still have this, and they may start getting in situations where they feel triggered by something. Something starts swelling up inside them. Can you just take us back and take us into that life for a moment? Because I don't want us to leave anybody, you know, out there just kind of spinning and lost. As we go into the subject of trauma, we're going on a journey here for a while, and we're going together. What do you want to say to her, to him up front, who may have really experienced something horrific? It's done something to their soul. They know that.
Well, the first thing I want to say is hearing us talk about it will bring all that up again. So they're going to feel two things while they listen to us. Relief that somebody understands and actually named it and honors it as real, and fear, because every time somebody's triggered about a trauma, that fear overwhelms them again. And it's something they want to hide, and it's something they want to heal. And so that puts them in a bind, which is very painful.
Often we block those things. It's like we don't allow ourselves to travel there. But you are right. When we get triggered, it kind of like pulls us in there. And I've often heard people say this, Diane, that people who have lived through a traumatic situation, when it triggers, they don't remember the event. They kind of like re-experience it. What does that mean?
It means their heart beats fast. They feel overwhelming fear. They don't feel safe. Nobody around them feels safe. Even if they're with people that they know who have proven themselves safe, they don't feel safe. They feel completely isolated, and they feel helpless.
And so in those moments, then, as they go in that direction and they feel this sense of being overwhelmed, what's a natural reaction for them?
Most of them will find a way to get away from other people in order to feel safe. If they can't do that, they will try to find a way to shut themselves down on the inside so that they can try to protect themselves from anything going on in front of them.
What does that do to everything inside of them? I mean, somehow, if this is happening to me and I'm triggering again, it's got to find an expression. And you're right, I'm trying to, it's like holding a beach ball underwater for a moment. There's this overwhelming sense that it's going to come out somehow. Maybe sometimes it comes out through our body, doesn't it?
Sure, it can do that. It can come out through just sort of being blank and not being able to talk to people in the moment because you're so focused on what's happening inside, you don't connect to the outside. And actually, that's very important because if somebody is feeling overwhelmed by trauma or by the memory of it, one of the things they need to do is connect concretely to something in front of them. So, for example, if somebody in my office gets overwhelmed, I will have them find something to look at, like the flowers in the vase or something like that, and remind them that's in a room where you're safe. You're remembering something that was bad and scary and unsafe, but where you are now is safe. And people can learn to do that for themselves as well.
Well, I tell you, it just speaks so much about having a significant person in your life, somebody you can talk to, someone who is safe. And if you're in a perpetual sort of sea of bad relationships and chaos around you, it's just like you're going to continue to flounder and be just lost in your sea of emotion, never really being able to calm yourself, really, right?
Yes, yes.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, filling in for Dr. Dobson today. Our special guest is Dr. Diane Langberg, in my mind, world-renowned in the area of trauma. And she's had a ministry of pouring into the lives of people who have experienced horrific trauma in their life for some 45 years. She gets it. And we're talking about what trauma is and what it's like, what it does to the soul. And I think a lot of people, again, Diane, let's go there again. They're carrying those experiences around like buckets. And they're weighted very heavy on them, and they often just don't know what to do.
And they're sitting in the pews of our churches, and they don't know who to tell. You know, it's interesting because of wars and things like that, that we're pretty welcoming and interested in and caring for soldiers who come off the battlefield.
Yeah, we're okay talking about what they experienced over there and how horrific it must have been.
Yes.
And is for them.
Yes.
We get that. We'll talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, like it's over there, but we don't want to see it over here.
Yes. And so a woman, say you have a woman in your church who was sexually abused by, I don't know, a mother, a father, an uncle, a grandfather from the age of 3 to 18, and she's never talked to anybody about it, and she sits in the pew. And everything that she hears in church is filtered through that grid. Or you think of a woman who comes to church with her husband, and she always wears long sleeves and turtlenecks because underneath are bruises. And she sits in our pews. So 1 in 4 women are sexually abused before 18. 1 in 6 men. 1 in 5 women experience rape in the United States. 1 in 4 marriages have at least one episode of domestic violence. And when you look at the research, the numbers don't change in the Christian world.
So if this is true, and we know it is, they're seated in our pews, how do you help them break through? Where do we go? What's the new story? How do they create a new narrative? How do they find a sense of security again? How do they find their being? Where do they find their soul, if you will? It's like someone took it from me. It's like, we've often heard people talk about shaken baby syndrome. Mm-hmm. Now, just you can't even imagine that. But it's like our brains, when we experience trauma, we experience, I think, a lot of the same thing, right?
Yes, yes. It is very life-controlling.
We lose our groundedness. We lose our sense of balance or safety in life.
People need...
It's hard being that person. And by the way, it's hard loving that person too, isn't it?
Particularly if you don't understand, if you don't know why, if you've never heard the story, then you don't know how to interpret what you're seeing. So, I mean, that can happen in marriages and things like that, where somebody has a history of sexual abuse or rape or whatever, and it's never been told. And so then you see reactions and behaviors that cannot be interpreted correctly.
So, Diane, I want to go into your counseling office for a moment, and I want to talk about... when you meet her, when you meet him, and that fragmentation is just everywhere, and it's they bear their soul to you, how do you start them on a healing journey?
Well, the first thing we have to recognize is that anybody who comes to tell us their story in a counseling office or just in a relationship is showing tremendous courage, because they're going to talk to you about the thing they most want to forget. They're going to talk to you about the thing that completely overwhelms them and makes them feel like it's happening again. That's not something you want to do. And so that courage has to be honored. Secondly, it has to be at their pace, because they don't know what it's like to feel safe. And so I'm not there to do something for them. I'm there to be with them first and provide a sense of predictability and safety and a stable place. Mm. And it's from that place.
I like that their pace piece, because we often want to really hustle things along. We get lost in this process.
Yes. And we, many times, counselors...
I should be able to just to deal with it and move on. I should be able to just to let this thing go.
People think that, and listeners think that.
I pray a prayer, and it's going to disappear for me.
Yes, but you...
Nothing wrong with prayer. I'm not trying to minimize it. No. I'm just saying... But it's almost like magical, wishful thinking that all this will just erase. We can push reset, and it starts over again.
Yes, and if I had enough faith, it would be okay. But if you go back to the beginning, where we're created in the image of God, which is a very precious thing, anything in this world that smashes that image isn't going to get better quickly. Whether it's some of the atrocities of war, whether it's being beaten to within an inch of your life by the man who promised to love you till death, whether it's being sexually abused, whether it's being raped on the college campus, whatever it is, those things dehumanize. They violate our humanity, which is God-given and created. And they mar the image. And so there's no quick fix. There is healing, but there's no quick fix. And so we need to be willing to bear witness to the stories of abuse, of trauma, of atrocity, and listen and enter into with them, which is what Jesus did for us when he came in the flesh.
Some of those stories are really dark.
Yes. And so sometimes people in the helping professions want to hurry it along because they're uncomfortable. And so they don't go with the pace of the person who's suffering.
When you've been in there and hearing the stories, does it often trouble you inside?
It always troubles me. Yes.
And when she continues to tell her story, somehow she's got to be able to get it all out. As she shares those meaningful pieces, what are you trying to help her do by releasing the story, by sharing it with you?
Well, for most, it's often the first time anybody's ever heard the story. And so that means for the very first time in their lives, somebody is in that place in their mind and heart.
Where they get lost.
Where nobody's been since the abuser smashed it. Only this time, it's not somebody who's abusive. It's somebody who's safe. Which, of course, has to be proven over time. They don't just walk in and think you're safe.
I remember a few years ago, you were talking about someone who had been a victim, survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And there was a revelation that she experienced when she really thought about Jesus and how that they had taken his clothes.
Yes.
And for her, It was almost like a gift that God had given to her. Can you share a little bit about that story, what it did for her?
Yes, it was a woman who grew up in a rural area and was frequently taken by boys and men to a barn and stripped and gang raped. And she loved God, but she didn't think he understood. You know, and she couldn't put God together with her story. It didn't make any sense in her mind. So I sent her home one day to read just two verses in the Gospels, and I didn't tell her what they said. And I said, I want you to read them three times a day and come back and tell me what you heard from God. And when she came back to the office the next week, she hadn't even sat down on the couch. She was so full of what she had experienced. And she said, they took his clothes, Diane, they took his clothes, he knows.
Wow.
So there is a place in the process of healing where they come face to face with the incarnate God, who knows. It's a slow trip.
Wow.
And we need to respect that. But that is where they end up.
There's so much grief. Because
yes.
There's overwhelming loss. Something's
yes.
been taken from me.
Many things.
Do you, Diane, believe that God weeps with us, in a sense, in our pain and our brokenness, that he understands the travail of the soul?
I absolutely do. We know that Jesus wept over things. And I think that the church at large has lost touch with the laments in the scriptures. I mean, so many of the psalms are laments where we say things like, where are you, God? Or the prophet Jeremiah says, well, you know, you're just going to let us die? Words that when people who've been victimized say them in churches, the church says, you need to have more faith, you shouldn't talk like that. But you can literally read them in the scriptures. So I introduce them to the lament psalms and teach them what a lament is, and then have them write their own, where they can speak to God out of the pain, not making it pretty, and ask him where he was. I was stalked in the darkness. I mean, those kinds of things are in the Psalms. And what they realize then is that they are speaking God's word and gives them the freedom to lament and grieve. They're not doing something wrong.
And as they do that, somehow we've got to be careful that we don't get lost in a victim mentality. And we understand this. No one's to blame for what's happened to him or her.
Yes, they were a victim.
They are a victim. That's right. But there's a responsibility factor here that takes them to another place. Can you help us understand what that means to transition to accept responsibility for my life going forward? How do I do that? So as I see this, as I go back through and try to bring healing to those dark places, how do I then take that step forward of, quote, taking responsibility for my life?
It's actually something almost all of them are eager for. It's not, people don't want to stay victims. That was the worst place they ever experienced.
Wow.
And so they want out. They often want out too quickly, which is understandable. You know, if you have surgery, you want to feel better in a week, and it might take 3 months. And so they have to tell the story multiple times, and they also have to look at the lies the story taught them. Telling the story is not enough. Because the story tells you things about yourself that are not true. You're trash. You're worthless. You know, you're somebody to toss aside. And so in the process of the work, they begin to discover who they are as God meant them to be. I'm created, I'm knit together by Him with purpose. I have gifts in my life. He has meaning for me here in this world. There's a way He wants me to honor Him in this life. And so once they go through the story and the lies and they do the grieving, they have to do the grieving, which they want to avoid, then they can begin to say, who am I? Who was I meant to be? What's in my package? When my two sons were tiny, just born, I remember with each of them holding them, you know, like you do with their heads in your hands and looking down at them and thinking, God's given me a treasure, but I have no idea what's inside. And part of my work as a parent is to help them discover the treasures God put in there. Well, if you've been abused, nobody did that. They smashed you. And so you get to the place when you're working with somebody where you're doing a similar thing. Let's look for the treasures God put in you. And the results are so redemptive.
Diane, can you close us out by just talking about the need for trauma ministry, the significance or the importance of the church? And I know God's called you to an international platform now. You travel the world. God's given you a powerful voice for those who have no voice. Can you just wrap it up and speak to our listener and let them know that you understand?
Well, I first would just like to say that if you look at life around the globe and the statistics of the things I've mentioned, of the refugees and whatever, one of the things I say everywhere I go is that trauma is the mission field of the 21st century. And it is a call to the church to walk with those who have been traumatized. I mean, we've been traumatized by sin, and that's what our Savior did. He came and walked with us in that traumatization. So the church is called to do the same. And she's called to learn how to do it at their pace, which she doesn't like to do. She wants to tell them a verse and have it be better. But to incarnate what's true, not just speak it. And prove herself a refuge like her God for the people who have suffered. I've worked with churches where sometimes, for example, a group of women will come into my office for a few sessions and they'll take a reading list, say, about domestic violence, and they'll study it. And they will become the safe team to walk alongside women in the church who experience domestic violence or another group for sexual abuse or whatever. We need to have the humility to listen to those who have no voice and let them tell us what it's like so we can actually learn how to incarnate our God in their presence and in their lives.
What a beautiful gift. Diane, thanks for being a part of Family Talk. I've always enjoyed our conversations and love the ministry that, again, God has called you to. What a powerful calling. What a unique calling. And to all of us out there, if God has placed you into the life of someone else, the power of presence, of hearing story, of, by the way, encouraging them to find hope and help. That's what this is all about. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Thanks for listening.
What a powerful program indeed, and I pray that you were moved by the conversation you just heard featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Diane Langberg here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Now, if you or someone you know is dealing with a serious trauma in their lives, we urge you to call our friends at the American Association of Christian Counselors. The number is 1-800-526-8673. When you call, you'll be connected with a Christian counselor who will be able to help you through whatever situation you're dealing with. Again, that number is 1-800-526-8673. And keep in mind, you can also connect with them online at aacc.net. That's aacc.net. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Diane Langberg and her practice, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. You can also find out more about her book, Suffering the Heart of God, How Trauma Destroys and Christ Restores. You'll find this information and much more when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your continuing support of our ministry as we continue to fight for the institution of the family. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast, and have a great weekend.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.